Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is a very special episode of Tales from the Flip Side. If you're listening to us on iTunes, we're simulcasting right now live on Facebook. So you may hear us comment with some of our Facebook watchers, our viewers, as we record this. I've got a very special guest in the studio tonight. My co-host, Bewitched Raven.
Hello, everyone.
And we are here to talk about Avengers Infinity War. Big warning, lots of spoilers.
Lots
of spoilers on this episode. So if you've listened to
There's
my previous episode...
There's going to be so many spoilers, you might as well call me Tom Holland.
You're Tom Holland. That's funny. We'll talk about that in a minute. Tom Holland. But before we do that, just to address our Facebook fans, yes, we know it's been several weeks since we've come to you guys on video. I had to do two episodes by myself in the studio. Nobody's fault. It's just life gets in the way, You dog's got to have surgery. Parents got to go in the hospital.
Dog is good.
Yes.
Parents, where people have moved. We got a new studio.
Yeah.
Life has happened.
Yeah. Life has happened, but it's good stuff. It's all good. And so we're going to talk Infinity War. And like we said, big spoilers. So, Bewitched Raven, I've already done my initial 30,000 foot review for my fans. Why don't you share your initial thoughts about Infinity War? And just before you do that, I want to point out to our listeners that this movie stressed me out so much it turned my beard white. All right, go ahead.
Can that be my review right there? Because I loved it and I hated it and I had such emotions during it, and I know that we have I think it was perfect. I mean, I really do.
A perfect movie.
I know that you've got some concerns about it, and I think they're legit. I just didn't feel like they were concerns for me.
Well, that's all right. Yeah. So, Raven is referring to, if I were to rank this movie on 5 stars, I'd give it 4, maybe 4.5. And the things that keep it from being a 5-star movie for me are, I mean, they're little quibbles. One, I told you this, and I mentioned this before, that I feel like it assumed way too much of fan base. It assumed that we had seen every movie and that we had, that we're familiar with the source material, the comic series Infinity Gauntlet.
Which, for me, I feel like is a safe assumption. And I understand not feeling that way too. I mean, I get it. I have family who calls me up after seeing every Marvel movie and being like, okay, what? Explain it. Who was this? What's going on? Who's that green guy who's just showing up?
How do you not know the Hulk?
I don't know.
Did you not see Lou Ferrigno in,
There you come back. Edward James?
Come on. No, not Edward James.
Oh, I was like,
Lou Ferrigno was the Hulk.
Yeah.
But, Bill Bixby.
Oh yeah.
Was okay. David Banner. David Banner, not Bruce Banner, on the TV series in the '70s. So Eli Cash, turn down the volume for you guys as I'm posting. All right, cool. Thanks, Eli. So that was my one quibble.
Yeah, and I mean, I get that. If you haven't seen, especially since Black Panther's not officially out on DVD yet.
It's not.
It's close, though.
It's coming soon.
Ragnarok just came out.
That's right.
So especially those two, I can understand. A lot of people don't want to go to theaters to see movies. There's too many people. I don't get that.
Why would you not want to go to the movies?
I got that until we got a movie theater with reclining seats, and now I'm there all the time. Okay?
Well, don't get a movie pass then, because you'll never leave.
Yeah, Lord. So, I mean, I do understand, but I feel like the production, Marvel movies and film, have done their due diligence to put it out there. So I feel like
at this point,
it's got to be on us to see everything else.
Well, I agree. I'm really old school, and Mark Waid is one of those writers who does this brilliantly in the comic series. When he was doing Flash, every issue started with, I'm Wally West, I'm the fastest man alive. It established a status quo, and Avengers Infinity War didn't do that at all. There was no introduction for any character. They were just, you know, dropped in where the story was, which, if you've seen all the material, if you've seen all the movies, is perfectly fine.
You know who they are.
It's great. But if you haven't, I know there were a lot of people, especially in the scenes in Wakanda and at the start with the Thanos invasion of the Asgardian refugee ship. Spoiler.
Did we say we're going to have spoilers on this?
There were probably a lot of people going, what the heck? And if you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok...
if you didn't stay for the after credits scene in Thor Ragnarok, which, by the way, if you're watching a Marvel movie, stay till the end of the credits.
You know what? So let me talk about that for a minute. There was a family that came to see Infinity War, and literally, they got up and left before the post-credits scene.
You're just like, why?
I'm like, what are you doing? And I get it. This movie was a gut punch.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have compared it to Empire Strikes Back.
I think this is more of a gut punch.
Well, you're a little bit younger than me. So you probably did not see The Empire Strikes Back in theaters.
No, I did not.
I did. And I think I was 10 years old. Okay? And I just gave out my age. I'm much older than I look. Thank you. But, yeah, I'm 65.
Me too.
Don't I look great for 65? So, when I saw Empire Strikes Back, I hated that movie.
Yeah.
Hated it. At the end of it, I was like, this is the worst movie ever. What? Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. He gets his arm cut off. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, spoiler alert for The Empire Strikes Back. Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. And I was just livid at that movie. Now, I wasn't mad at Avengers Infinity War.
Right.
But at the end, spoiler alert, we don't win. We don't win. And Thanos wins. The bad guy wins. And you feel it. There's a definite gut punch, and you leave that theater.
Since we're talking about that moment, and I'm going to, again, every time I say it, spoilers.
Yep.
Dear God, Spider-Man. I was good until him. And then he started clutching and being like, Mr. Stark, I don't want to go. And I lost it. I just sobbed. I was like, I'm done. That was such a superb acting moment.
Well,
good job, Tom.
You know what's really funny about that? So what Bart Constantine says, I think the film is actually underrated and underappreciated when you consider all that it entails. Yeah, it's not a perfect film, but it's way better than it should be with all of the moving pieces. Nice. And can we see more?
Yeah.
And storylines. It did a fantastic job. And... I know who that is.
Sorry about that. Quick phone call.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to scroll through your comment without.
That's all right.
The rest of it. I'm sorry,
Bard. You're right. This movie did a fantastic job at what it did.
Yes. We are being so nitpicky,
super critical,
and we are very aware of that. I mean, he gives it 4.5 out of 5. I give it a 5 out of 5. So we are picking at little things right now.
Yeah.
We're aware of that.
Yeah.
I read a very interesting article today. So I saw the movie, and then...
We just lost our internet connection, but that's all right. We're going to keep recording as we try to reconnect. That's all right.
Trying to reconnect.
Actually, we're going to pause this right here. I'll edit this in a minute because I...
Sorry about that.
Anyway, we are being super nitpicky about Avengers Infinity War because we are uber geeks and that's what we do, right?
If I don't love something, I don't pick it apart. I'm just like, whatever.
But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Back to my thought. So I was reading an article today about the screenwriters for Infinity War 1 and 2. And they were talking about some points that they were making that if you watch Infinity War, they seem like...
Keep talking. They keep seem going. Like, we're recording.
Empty spaces until you see Infinity War 2. So they made a point to be like, the people who are kind of focused on plot-wise in this movie are the people who, almost all of them, died at the end. Because everyone who lived is going to be the focus in part 2. Which is why you didn't see a whole lot of a Captain America and Black Widow. Because they're going to drive part 2.
Well, see, that's interesting because I heard that is a criticism that there wasn't a whole lot of Captain America or Black Widow in this movie, and I disagreed with that. They were part of the major story arcs. There were 3 story arcs basically.
Yeah.
That they all wove together beautifully and then converged at the end. It was masterfully done, and I thought that criticism that, you know, some of the characters weren't featured enough was maybe a little bit invalid, because Captain America was there. Not Captain America, Steve Rogers, yeah. Nomad, whatever. I thought they did a great job of giving each character their own moment.
I know I hold the most unpopular opinion, but I am not a Captain America fan. I'm sorry.
What?
I feel like he gets so much praise for being such a like good guy, and I'm like, he is 100% a soldier. His mentality he's driven by that, and that to me isn't necessarily leader material. I'm sorry. I know that's unpopular, but that's how I feel. So I was kind of okay not having that much of him around.
Well, that's interesting because I adore Captain America. I am a huge Captain America fan. And I don't know why our internet has to be so dicey. It's driving me crazy. Anyway, I'm a huge Captain America fan. I collect Captain America memorabilia and art. And the next time we go live in this studio on video, you'll see the backdrop will be filled with Captain America memorabilia. This back wall will be the Captain America wall. So you're muted because you got it on the button.
Thank you.
Let's see. All right, we are back with you guys live. Our internet keeps wanting to cut in and out, so we're going to...
And now we're on my phone, which is not as good, so sorry for the poor picture.
No, it looks fine still. We're going to do our best here. So we're still recording audio, so you can go back and listen to what you missed.
But what they said in the article was, you know, for those people who felt like Captain America's Black Widow didn't get enough story, it's coming. It's part 2. That is, you know, I know Hawkeye's in part 2 because we've seen the set photos.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's hard to look at this as a standalone movie. It's a two-parter. Wait till it might not be a traditional part 1, part 2, two-parter, but they're one whole story, and they've got to be told together.
Actually, it's a 20-part story.
Yeah, right?
Well, okay, so let's talk about some of the things we absolutely love.
Literally everything Spider-Man did. Everything.
Man, he was awesome, wasn't he?
He was so good.
It was good. He was so great. I loved what they did with Thor. They elevated Thor to top tier status. He is now the Alpha Prime superhero of the Marvel Universe until Captain Marvel gets here.
I think that means he's going to be a permadeath in part 2.
Well, it could be. I mean, they elevated him to Superman level.
And I think it's going to surprise us. Because I think everyone's ready for either Iron Man or Captain America. One or the other. And I think it's going to be Thor. And kind of shock everyone a little.
Well, it could be.
Just one girl's opinion.
That scene where he comes down with Stormbreaker and wipes out half of the alien force.
Stormbreaker's part Groot. It's so sweet.
Isn't that awesome? That was so... I didn't see that coming, actually.
No.
That took me by surprise. I was like, yes, that's awesome. When Groot, you know, grows his arm out and becomes the handle for Stormbreaker. Which most fans have pointed out means that even though Groot, quote unquote, died,
a part of him's still there.
A part of him's still there. Because the hammer did not, the handle to the hammer didn't vanish. But we know how Groot's powers work. You know, he replicates himself, basically. Yeah. So that's an interesting thing. And I love that. I love what they do with Thor. And I've never been a Thor fan.
I've always enjoyed Thor. But he's never been just top of my list, like, yeah, Thor's here. Woo!
Well, no, I'm the same way. In a previous podcast, and you guys can go back and listen to this, I did a top 10 most overrated Avengers episode.
I would say he's on that
list. And Thor was on my list.
Yeah.
He was in my top 10, and he was in the top 5. I've just never really liked that character in the comics. And in the movies, he's been okay.
Yeah.
Ragnarok really turned me around and turned me into a fan. I loved him in Ragnarok. Ragnarok was one of my top 5 movies of 2017. But this movie, man, made him so bad to the bone. I mean, he reignited a dead star. And can we talk about Peter Dinklage's character?
Oh, yeah!
Don't you love it?
I knew he was in the movie because he's been listed on the poster.
Yes.
But I didn't know who he was, so I loved it when he showed up.
And don't you love it that in the Marvel Universe, dwarves are giants?
I loved it! It's so amazing!
That was awesome.
And I just love that he brought that perfect, like, Peter Dinklage, like, sadness and that lust for the character, but at the same time, that just, like, funny little bit. You know, I'll die when I'm dead. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I love his sense of humor. He was great.
Yeah, no, that was great. What else did I love? I loved, again, Okoye of the Dora Milaje, the warrior women of Wakanda. She's the, I practiced that. She's the general.
She's always great.
And she was awesome.
All
and
that the women scene really rocked it.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is another article I read that was just like, the women in Avengers Infinity War really hold their own. Because if you look at it, all the guys are the ones who came in and mucked things up. But the women were there to just clean up messes and kick butt and take names. And I appreciate that.
Well, that fight with Okoye and Black Widow against Proxima Midnight in the trench was just
great.
Awesome. That was great. I loved the scene with Shuri in Wakanda and Dr. Banner, and she's like, "Well, why didn't you do this?" And he's like,
"Because
we didn't think of that." And she just has this look like, "Yeah, because you're not as smart as I am, boy."
In the future Black Panther 2 that, of course, they're going to make, because if they don't, they're dumb. I would really be interested to see Bruce hang around in Wakanda and see what he can learn a little.
Well, so let's talk about... I was hoping for that scene between Shuri and Stark. That's what I was looking for. We'll get that eventually in Avengers 4.
We hope. We don't know necessarily if she survived.
Well, we didn't see her
but
die.
But I'm
and
assuming
that,
she did.
You're assuming she survived?
Yeah.
I am too, because we saw the main characters who didn't make it. You know, die. And we are assuming Shuri is still alive, and I think that's a good assumption. But that was one of my quibbles, is that there were a lot of unaccounted for characters. She was one of them. Mm-hmm. If right from the beginning, we don't know where Valkyrie and Korg are from Thor Ragnarok.
We assume they survived because we didn't see their bodies anywhere.
We assume. We don't know where Agent Ross is from Black Panther, or Sharon Carter, Steve Rogers' girlfriend from Civil War. No, she in the comics,
yeah,
she
I
is
know,
too.
But
you know, she kissed him in Civil War. You know,
that means
that,
you're dating. I'm
sure,
dating
you know,
a lot of people out there. Just
oh
kidding.
My goodness!
And I get that. I have a huge. I did have one really big negative that bothered me and still bothers me.
Okay.
And I remembered it now. Why the hell did they not? And pardon my language. use the sling ring to get them all off the ship in space. The whole time I was like, come on. Come. All it needed was Strange to be like, it only works on Earth. Okay.
Well, more awesome. Than that. Just tell me. More than that. Okay. Okay. If we're going to get really nitpicky, this bugged me, and I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm going to go see it again on Thursday, tomorrow night. So, but here's what really bugged me. You remember that scene in New York? They're fighting in New York. Wong uses his sling ring. He opens the portal. Brother Brood or Brother Blood or whatever his name is pushed through it, and he's crawling back through the portal, and he reaches through it, and Wong closes the portal and cuts his arm off. If you can do that,
do it to Thanos.
Why? When you're trying to get that gauntlet off, Doctor Strange, don't you do that?
And
the story ends right there.
I get it because he has seen how we win, and that wasn't it. I conceptually get this, but I feel like they didn't tell us hard enough in the movie for people who aren't as smart as me. I'm so modest.
That, it bugged me. And okay, so let's talk about the finger snap. The only reason Thanos was allowed to snap his fingers and eliminate half of all existence, half of all life in the universe, not just on Earth, in the universe, ladies and gentlemen.
Everywhere.
The only reason he was able to do that was because of Thor's ego and hubris.
Yep.
Because Thor threw the axe in the chest, not the head. He didn't cut off the arm, the chest. Why? Because Thor thought he was big and bad enough to take him out that way.
Yeah, and I like that Thanos pointed that out. By the way, since we are restarting our live stream, if you have any questions or comments, please put them in the comments. We'd love to answer questions or see if we agreed or disagreed on any of our thoughts. Let us know.
Yeah. And there's spoilers, so we're talking spoilers.
And I put it in the title this time.
All right, so thank you. So, so
Thor's ego, and that's kind of always been his problem.
Yes, it has.
It has. I mean, always, even a little bit. And so you're right. And I think he hasn't felt the full pain of his life yet as a character. That's probably been my biggest, like, about Thor. I don't feel like he's ever felt the full pain of his loss. And I think this is it. I think his pain of failing everyone is gonna this is gonna snap him, and I hope it does in part two. Well, I want to see him a little more human.
I think it'll be his arc is gonna be interesting, because he's seen half the Asgardians wiped out by his sister Hela, his father killed, now his brother killed by Thanos. Thanos wipes out half of the Asgardian refugees. How many are left? Like 100, maybe 50. I mean,
that wasn't a species you needed to cut in half.
No.
They already had been.
Speaking of unaccounted characters, we talked about Carter and Ross and a few others. Where in the world has Sif been? We've not seen Sif since Thor the Dark World. Oh, no. Actually, since after that. She was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Gone. And I know why. Jamie Alexander, the actress, went on to do Blind Spot. But that show
just mentioned something.
Yeah.
Just, all it takes is she died in battle. Okay.
Yeah. We didn't see her get killed by Hela, maybe.
Oh, we have not talked about that yet.
All right. You want to talk about Star-Lord's big mistake? What do you think about that? So, okay. I wasn't mad at Star-Lord.
I wasn't either.
Because
like, yes, he acted impulsively and that screwed everything up. Yes. But I don't blame him. I can't say I wouldn't have done the same thing. I mean,
well, but was it really a mistake? See, and here's where I'm going to go with this. Doctor Strange went forward in time to
14.5 million.
Oh, 14.5 million possible futures, and he saw them win in one scenario.
And so I think everything that happened, Doctor Strange let happen because it needed to.
I completely agree, including giving him the time stone because it's
Tony had to be alive for them
Tony
to win.
Tony has to be alive.
I think letting Star-Lord, because I feel Doctor Strange could have just done something and Star-Lord could have frozen right there in that moment.
That's right.
He let him do that.
That's
he
right.
Let, you know, because that was how they win.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And we know that of the Avengers 4, whether, you know, whatever the title is going to be, it's been hinted at that it's called Endgame. Yeah, that came out 2 days ago at IGN.
They haven't been saying what it's called because it's apparently a mild spoiler. That's not a spoiler. Endgame? Of course. Like, no, I don't think that's right.
It's probably a blue herring. But
what bothered me was the Hulk refusing to come out and turning him into a wimp. I don't think it was turning him into a wimp.
No, it was giving him humanity.
Yeah, this is the first time the Hulk's had his ass handed to him.
And been afraid.
And that's terrifying for him because, I mean, Bruce has said it. He put a bullet in his mouth and the Hulk stopped it.
Yeah.
This is the first time the Hulk has sensed his own death being possible.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
think it wimps him out. I think it makes him immortal.
Yeah, I thought that made the Hulk very interesting because the Hulk has a tendency to become a very one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
But by having that fear and that resistance, anxiety, he became very human and very relatable.
I think it's setting up an interesting arc for the second movie. Again, I know it sucks that we don't get it right now. I want it. But I think he's going to be the Hulk, not Bruce. I think the Hulk is going to have something really interesting in the next movie.
Well, when you think about the comparison of this movie to The Empire Strikes Back, Empire Strikes Back ended kind of in the same place. The bad guys won. And we couldn't wait for Return of the Jedi for it to come full arc and the, you know, the resolution to happen. And that's what's going to happen. So I think they're saving Hulk for the Worldbreaker version next film. Could be, Bart.
That's possible.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they surprise us a little with the next film. Because it's really easy to say, oh, they're going to get the Time Stone, and oh, they're going to use the Time Stone to return everything back to the way it was. I hope it's better than that. I hope it's more about the Soul Stone. My hope is that by Thanos killing Gamora, again, spoilers, it's in the title, he actually didn't receive the full power of the Soul Stone the right way. That's my hope, is that that wasn't the way to get it. That was a misdirection. And somebody's going to step in, one of our good guys is going to step in and do something selfless, and the Soul Stone's going to give them its full power. That's my hope. That's what I want.
Well, that's an interesting theory. For those of you who have read the source material, the Infinity Gauntlet and Infinity Watch and the other series, the Soul Stone was interesting in that at one point, the keepers of the Infinity Stones were actually transported into the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
There's an entire universe inside the Soul Stone, the Soul World. And I think all of the characters who died
are in the Soul
World. Are actually still alive in the Soul Stone.
I think the characters who are not going to come back, because we got to talk about that.
Okay.
Are going to be, I think Loki's dead.
I think you probably could be right.
I think if they brought him back again, it would just diminish anything moving forward with him. And be like, oh, okay, just send Loki. He can't die. I think, I'm going to say his name wrong. I always do. Heimdall.
Heimdall, yeah.
Heimdall is also dead.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. I think Gamora will be back in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, not Avengers Infinity War 2. I think the point, they've said in interviews prior to this movie that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is actually going to shift focus from Star-Lord to Gamora, and she's going to be more of the front and center character. So I think the focus is going to be bringing her back.
Interesting.
So I think that's going to be Guardians 3 and not Infinity War 2, which saddens me because I love her, but I can wait. Ooh, we got some.
So the whole Mind Stone conversation about it being possibly connected to Vision, Ultron, mm-hmm. Jarvis. Well, I mean, it is. It is all connected. And here's here's one of the things we know is going to happen, because we've seen set photos from Avengers 4, is it is a time travel story. And we go back to the Battle of New York. So I think what has happened is that Doctor Strange has created a time loop. Before he surrendered the stone, he created a time loop that is like kind of under...
A big
loop. Under the radar.
Way back.
So that Thanos doesn't even detect it.
Yeah.
You know, he used magic to create this time loop through the time stone. And they're going to go back to the Battle of New York. And I don't know how it's all going to work out. But here's what we know. Okay, so we're going to switch. Bad. We're going to switch a little bit and talk about what we know.
Guardians 3, The Search for Gamora. See, I like that.
That could be it. That could be it. Here's what we know right now about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In Doctor Strange, it introduced the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And that multiverse has been talked about in depth last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They got into real deep into the whole multiverse theory.
I'm a bad nerd. I couldn't hold on to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We'll talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in just a minute.
So we know
that the Marvel multiverse exists. We know that there are multiple branching timelines. We know that Disney has acquired Fox. We know that one of the characters that was a part of that reacquisition was an Avengers villain that they've not been able to use because he was, for some reason, included in the Fantastic Four universe, and that's Kang the Conqueror. Mm-hmm. Kang the Conqueror is a time-traveling character. He's a time-traveling conqueror. So I think, and set photos have leaked and been deleted of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine on the set of Avengers 4.
I did not know that.
Yes. So, here, that's what we know. We know that they've acquired the rights to the X-Men, Fantastic Four. We know that the multiverse and time travel is going to all be involved.
I just want Deadpool to come in and be like, psych!
So, is this a way? Is Avengers 4 going to use time travel and the multiverse to bring the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, back into the MCU and reestablish those franchises in a big, big way?
I could see that.
Yeah.
That, to me, would be more of a spoiler in a title than anything else. If the title was like... Bridging the gap. I don't know. But something that referenced like X-Men or something like that. That to me would be more of a spoiler. Because originally my hope was that maybe they were leading into the Scarlet Witch storyline where she just basically
revamps the
whole world. But then when she turned to dust, I was like, no.
That's another thing I really liked was they amped up Scarlet Witch's power again.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I keep hearing, oh, they need to nerf her, get rid of her, she's going to die. Are you kidding me? They will not kill her. She is one of the strongest main women in Marvel, and they can't be killing too many women off because there aren't that many. Sorry.
In my top 10 most powerful Avengers podcast, number one was Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch. She is not only the most powerful Avenger, she is the most powerful character in the Marvel Universe,
now,
period.
I could see her going, not evil, but pained because of the loss of Vision. And that makes me think that it could be possible and her and Hawkeye could team up a little bit because his new costume has led to some theories in the comic book world of him being, it's Ronin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So in the pictures that I've seen, you can clearly see the trim on his boots, which is the Ronin trim. And the only reason why he would assume that identity, and they speak to it a little bit in this movie, because of the Sokovia Accords, he cut a deal and he's...
On house arrest,
he's under witness protection, basically. He and Ant-Man. So, he comes back into action as Ronan to protect his family.
I think they all dusted, and I think he's going to come back in scarred and angry.
We could see. We could see.
Darker, and I like that. So I love Hawkeye, though. I'm a huge Hawkeye girl. I love it.
I'm a fan of the comics Hawkeye. The Marvel movie Hawkeye,
I think he's been underutilized.
Probably.
That's not his. Jeremy, that's not your fault.
No.
Sorry.
No, it's never the actor's fault, by the way. Never the actor's fault. That's the fault of the writers and directors.
I was talking to one of my friends about Ant-Man should have been here. Yeah, he was on House Arrest, but could you imagine him just getting small and just getting between the gauntlet and Thanos' arm?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so here's what the Russo brothers have told us. Kevin Feige has confirmed this. Okay. Is that this movie leads directly into Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay, does it? Because yeah. I was worried Ant-Man and the Wasp was going to be set just prior to this. And no. I was like, why?
No, we will definitely see ramifications from this film.
Good.
In that movie. Now, it might be happening maybe just before or at the same time, but
the same time would be really cool.
Feige has confirmed that it definitely
hand in hand.
Yeah, moves right into it. So
we had a question. Do you think Nebula will play a similar role in undoing Thanos as in the comics?
All right.
I think she already has.
Great question. Great question. So what Bart Constantine, our buddy, is asking is, in the Infinity Gauntlet, Nebula seizes the gauntlet from Thanos.
Yep.
And she wields it. She
undoes everything.
Yes.
But in the comics, it's a little different. Thanos is using reverse psychology to get her to undo everything. But yeah, I mean, I think she is. She's all, like, melty and death-like in the comics. And I think they're going to use her ability to be deconstructed instead. But I think there was a reason her and Rocket were the only two Guardians of the Galaxy to live.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing we know about the Disney-Fox acquisition. There's another big, big character out there that played in prominently into the Infinity Gauntlet series, and that's the Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
So he's kind of unaccounted for right now, but also...
Basically, he... was what Bruce Banner was.
That's right. In the comics. That's right. And then hanging out there is Adam Warlock, who was created at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Adam Warlock becomes the central figure in the whole Infinity Gauntlet mythos. So, you know, what are they going to do? I don't know. There's a lot
of possibility. But at the same time, I don't want them to be 100% true to the comic. I like that they take from it, but they don't stick to it, because that leaves some surprise for us who know the comic.
Yeah.
It's not a complete... Well,
they've created their own canon.
Yeah, like, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, let me talk about a couple of things before we go.
I just love this movie.
So, here's my big thing with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as it stands today. Last week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., mentioned the fight that was going on in New York with Tony and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and Wong and the Black Order.
Just at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah. That very first thing. They mentioned it in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Have you seen what's going on in New York right now? And that's all they say. This week's episode, if there's not some bigger tie-in to this movie, I'm going to be really upset. And here's why. When... we were first presented with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, launching with Iron Man 1. The promise was that we were going to get a fully connected, harmonic cinematic universe.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job through Age of Ultron. And then, right around Age of Ultron, something happened. You had... Ivan Perlmutter and Kevin Feige was underneath him. And Ivan Perlmutter was the head of Marvel Studios. Kevin Feige hated Perlmutter. And he convinced Disney to separate them. So now you have Marvel Television and Marvel Studios. And those two guys hate each other and don't get along.
We all have to suffer for it.
And so because of that...
Because, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, we're in New York and I want to see Jessica Jones come out and just give the middle finger to everybody.
Yes! Look, here's the deal, guys. I'm speaking to you directly, Marvel. I don't expect a cameo in everything. I don't expect, you know, necessarily Tony Stark to drop in on Matt Murdock.
But
it would be cool. It would be cool.
But you can't pretend he hasn't heard of the Defenders.
That's right. And you can't pretend like the Defenders and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are not affected by the Infinity Gauntlet.
Especially if you're going to make Iron Fist such a big, cocky little, oh, you haven't heard of me? Yeah. Like, of course he's going to go step in and whip his dick out.
Yeah. Well, so here's all you've got to do, Marvel. This would, and look, they used the excuse that, well, we couldn't coordinate shooting schedules with the Netflix characters, and I don't buy that for a second. Not for a second. Here's how easy it would be. When, and I'll be perfectly happy with this, when the Blu-ray and the DVD comes out of Infinity War, bonus scenes, bonus content, some shorts of seeing Jessica Jones or Luke Cage or the team from
just
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Just helping the people in New York deal with this, you know?
Just a snippet, just to say.
It doesn't have to be in the big film, but yeah, an extra would be fine.
Yeah, and that would satisfy every fan who's looking for that congruent, connected Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with that.
So yeah, that's my thoughts. I probably have more. But
do you think there are going to be any deleted scenes?
Oh yes, yeah. Because we do know that they filmed the scene with Valkyrie.
Oh okay.
Yeah, and
I did not know that.
Yeah, we do know that there was a scene filmed with Jeremy Renner that got cut from the final edit. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because ultimately it didn't fit the story.
I don't care.
But here's the other interesting thing about this.
I love Hawkeye.
You know that I think you're the one who actually told me this, but you know, nobody in the cast saw the full script except for Cumberbatch. And that was by accident. But they went so far as to give Tom Holland a completely fake script.
A couple fake scripts, actually. Yeah. Because he's so terrible.
And what's so funny is none of the actors actually knew how the story ended or resolved until they saw it on the screen.
Yeah. But
which is an interesting, kind of revolutionary thing.
It's funny, we all give Tom Holland a bunch of shit for, sorry about the language, for being a spoiler man. But if you go back to a year ago, Don Cheadle and Mark Ruffalo did an interview at D23 Expo.
I remember
and
this.
He said Ruffalo flat out. Ruffalo's like, oh, wait till you see the next one. Everybody dies.
And Cheadle's like, you can't say that. You're not allowed to say
clearly
that.
Clearly he knew.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I will say they were really smart about editing their marketing for this.
Yes.
They're showing Captain America holding the gauntlet, and there's only two stones in it. He's got them all at that point. They're showing the Hulk running back behind Black Widow and all that.
He didn't have all
of
them.
He had most of them, though.
He was, still didn't have the mind gem.
That's the only one.
Yeah, but yes, you're right.
They show the Hulk running behind Black Widow and Captain America. No!
Nope.
No, he was Hulkbuster.
He was in the Hulkbuster.
So they heavily edited marketing for this movie.
Oh, yes, they did. And you know what?
I think it was smart.
I think so, too. And you know what I love about that scene, by the way? So a lot of people have seen in the trailer, you know, Captain America holding Thanos' fist back, his arm, and struggling against him. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand the source material there. In Infinity Gauntlet, he was the last man standing against Thanos. But what was awesome about that scene is, you know, Thanos comes in for the punch. Steve grabs the gauntlet and is holding him back. And did you see Thanos' face? He was like
that moment of
surprise. Cool. Like, this guy is just a ordinary person. And let's talk about the final scene with Thanos. Because
not just the scene, but let's just talk about how they've how they edited that, his whole story for this movie, how they altered it a little.
Well, I read a comment from a friend of mine online today, and she said, Avengers Infinity War, Thanos is really the good guy. Prove me wrong. And I had to think about this for a minute.
Done.
Because his motivation was very altruistic.
I can get to his save motivation. The universe. I can. He's seen it in action. He saw it on his planet. He's the bad guy because you do have to consider species that are already almost extinct, like the Asgardians. Why are you destroying half of them? They're already almost gone. So now you're just setting them up to be extinct.
Okay, well...
That's why he's the bad guy.
Okay, well, the final scene of him sitting down in his little farm and in...
Which is in the comics.
It is.
In a different
context. Place, yeah. You saw him with that heavy sigh and that remorse. You know, he feels like what he did was the right thing. Not for his own power, which was what we were set up to think was the case.
He was just a power-hungry, kill everybody kind of guy.
He thinks he's doing the right thing. But he has that remorse.
Which, again, I think is setting the Soul Stone up to be the real savior of everybody. Because real soul isn't... It might be thinking you're doing the right thing, but it's, again, it's being selfless. And he is not being selfless in the sense that he is pushing for what he thinks is right. Constantly. No matter what anyone else says or does or anything. He's killing his own family. He's, you know, and he sees it as his own burden and his own heartache. But I think the Soul Stone is going to show us that that wasn't the way to do it.
One last thought I just had. Strong women. You know, Okoye, Black Widow. We got Captain Nebula. Marvel on the way.
Oh, yeah!
Nebula. But Shuri. Mm-hmm. In the comics... Shuri becomes the next Black Panther.
Which I would be okay with. But I think he's not done. I think eventually he will be and he'll pass it off.
Well, no, he'll come back. And that's what happened in the comics. You know, he was lost.
But I can see her taking up the mantle while he's gone.
Yes. In Avengers 4, I think Shuri becomes the Black Panther for a while.
That'd be super cool. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry. We haven't talked about this.
Captain Marvel
is coming.
Yep.
And I love that her movie is being set in the 90s, so it's not gonna...
It's her origin movie. It's her introduction movie.
But before I saw the movie, that was literally the only spoiler I got. I did read something about the after credits scene, and so I knew that it referenced Captain Marvel. I was so stupid excited to see that they did it in blue and red, and not green. Because I have seen those set pictures and I have been angry about them.
You know why they're green in those pictures?
I don't care. It's horrible.
Well, because the Kree uniforms are green and white. And so I think that's
she's
her first
change
look.
It
yes.
As she becomes bound to Earth.
Yes, I think that's what's happening there. But
I hope so. I could see that. And I was happy. I feel like that set us up for it.
See, and here's a place in that post-credit scene. Nick Fury... Maria Hill, we see them crumbling into dust, and as they do, Nick Fury presses the distress signal. But here's a place where Nick Fury could have said one line to connect everything together in the MCU. He could have said, get Coulson's team on the phone. Where's Coulson's team?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. And we know Phil Coulson is going to be in Captain Marvel. He's one of the central characters in Captain Marvel.
I did not know that.
Yes, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I also read, I know we keep like trying to wrap up, but then I keep remembering things.
Yeah, that's all right. There's a lot to unpack in this movie.
I saw the movie and I immediately started reading every article I could now that I'd seen it. So I read the most heartbreaking thing that I didn't think about watching the movie, but now looking back, I'm like, yep. So you know how everybody else just kind of, they have like a moment and they turn to dust. Bucky's like, Steve? Gone. Black Panther's like, don't die here. Gone. Like, they have an instant. But Peter feels it. And he feels it for a while. I mean,
he feels it coming. Spider sense.
Spider sense. Yeah. Can you imagine that? He's not physically even going through it yet, and he feels himself dying before it happens.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking. He is a kid.
My 18-year-old son said, I may or may not have cried when Peter Parker died.
I sobbed like a baby. That was just, that was it for me.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect filmmaking. But seriously, F the people who thought about that and did that. That was, they're horrible human beings.
That's the Empire Strikes Back gut punch.
Oh,
that's Luke that was getting his hand cut off and finding out Vader is his father. That was the moment. And, you know, it's just, there's so much going on in this movie. They did a brilliant job of balancing it all, giving the characters the moments they wanted. And
we did a lot of jumping around, but it didn't ever feel like I was getting whiplash from it.
No, because they did a great job of telling those three separate stories parallel, and then you knew they were coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And
we left the movie, and I was, my friend I was with was like, how is Iron Man going to get back to Earth? And I was like, he's with Nebula. She's got this. I love Nebula.
But Star-Lord's ship is there.
She can pilot it. But if you looked at some of the groupings, I thought some of the death within groupings were uneven, if you think about it 50-50 wise. Because, again, only Rocket and Nebula are left from the Guardians. But Cap's got, like, most of his team. But
he only has Black Widow.
And Falcon, Bruce.
Well, but Falcon was gone. Winter Soldier's gone. Wanda is gone.
But so, I don't see her as part of Cap's team. I see her with the Vision. They're a pair. Cap's team to me is Falcon, Black Widow, him, and Bucky.
Well, but I'm considering it from the breakdown of in
the
Civil
three.
War.
Civil War,
because you had Captain America, but even then, Black Widow was initially on Tony's side and, you know, betrayed them.
But Tony is sitting in space with somebody he doesn't even know.
On Cap's team, you had Black Widow or Black Panther too.
Yeah.
So if you know,
but again, since his movie, I see him as his own. I see him with his people.
I gotcha.
You know? I feel like he's got Captain now has more than Tony does. And Tony's going to come back broken because of it.
So here's the interesting thing.
Especially if they try to sneak a Pepper Potts dusting on us. We'll see. We don't know if Pepper's alive.
Now, one of the big criticisms of the film from fans is that, and I agree with this choice directorially and from a story standpoint, but one reviewer said they ignored fan theories and didn't do any fan service or acknowledge fan theories. And I don't think they should acknowledge those things. It's not. Look, guys, we don't own these characters. We don't own this story. We don't own the franchise.
If we as fans can figure out what's going to happen before it happens, where's the fun in it?
Exactly.
The fun is in trying to, but
that's why
it's only good if you don't.
That's why fans were so upset with The Last Jedi. They were like, this is our movie. And we want it to be the way we want it to be. And that's just not a valid position.
Because I firmly believed that the Soul Stone was going to be in Wakanda. I was like, oh, it's what's powering all this vibranium. 100% there. And for it to just out of left field be on this other planet and
guarded,
like Gamora knows it.
Guarded by the Red Skull.
Like, what? But I love that it was a surprise.
When the Red Skull appeared, I audibly did this.
Yeah, right?
Because they kept that under wraps.
Yeah,
how did
they
do that?
They didn't use the original actor.
I know, that was
but
the
that's
big part
how
of
they
it.
Did it.
Yeah.
That's how they kept it under wraps. Which, I hate that they didn't use the original actor, but man, that was smart.
Yeah.
That's how they did it.
Yeah, yeah. That was a great reveal. Well, we're coming up on an hour. And there's probably more to unpack, and we want you guys to continue to post your comments, your theories down below. You can send us a private message.
Yeah.
Connect with us online. We've got our own websites and our own fan pages, Bewitched Raven, bewitchedraven.com. You can check me out at Big Daddy Cool Shows or johnpica.com, and that would be awesome. Just let us know what you think. And if you're listening to the audio, make sure you post a comment and a review on iTunes and make it good. And if you guys like Raven joining me more often, she's here in the same town with me, so she might appear on the podcast more often.
See.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be awesome. All right, guys, we will be back over the next couple weeks with new content, mm-hmm. new game reviews. We've got a new Magic subscription box to open.
Can we do a quick upcoming event since we're here?
Yes, 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 yes. Upcoming events. I'm going to be at WrathaCon on May 12th. It's a one-day con in Athens, Ohio, at Ohio University. Awesome, awesome, awesome con. Go to TheRatha, R-A-T-H-A, con.com. And you know what? If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, you can see me perform weekly now at the House of Cards.
It's cool.
Nashville's Magic-themed restaurant, bar, and theater. Awesome. You guys need to check it out at hocnashville.com. And you are going to be
I'm going to be at the Tennessee Renaissance Festival this Saturday. I have to look at my dates.
The 4th. 5th. May 5th.
Yes, May 5th. I will be at MomoCon coming up in Atlanta, Georgia on Memorial Day weekend. We've got some panels on Friday, so check that out. I'll be posting them online. I also want to give a shout out. Now, this is a little far away. But I've been touching base with a new convention in Chattanooga in March of 2019.
Cool.
I always say the name wrong. Metrotham Con. It's like Metropolis and Gotham, but one word. And it's their first year. It's their inaugural year. But I've met these guys. I met them at Marble City, and they're fantastic. They've got so much exciting content, and tickets are now on pre-sale. So check them out. They've got their website. It's Metrotham Con. You can also see it on my Bewitched Raven cosplay Facebook page. And check them out. They're in Chattanooga. And get your tickets now. Get your hotel room now. It's going to be way easier to get it now than when the con gets closer. That's
Man, Chattanooga
sure.
is such a cool town, yeah. too. I love Chattanooga. So, I'm going to put that on my calendar.
And tell them definitely you want to get Big Daddy Cool here to the con. Shoot him a little message.
The Comic-Con magician.
We can be there in person.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
It would be fantastic. This weekend, though, you're going to be at
Ren Fair,
but mm-hmm. this Saturday, May 5th, is Free Comic Book Day.
It is!
And
that's why
I'm going
to Ren Fair in comic book style.
That's awesome. I'm going to be at Rick's Comic City in Donelson, so come out and see all of the cool stuff going on there. Rick does like a mini con, so it's fantastic. Artists and guests, and it's just, it'll blow your mind. Free comic book day. Go to a local comic book shop near you.
Yeah.
And
or just go see Infinity War again.
It could happen.
I do.
Do both. Make it a day.
Yeah.
Go to Free Comic Book Day. Go to the Ren Fair. Go see Infinity War again after the Ren Fair closes.
Yeah. It's an early day.
That could
comic
happen.
Book in the morning, Ren Fair in the afternoon, movie in the evening.
Now,
that sounds like a perfect day.
Yeah, you know what I do though? So this weekend is also the Middle Tennessee Jazz Festival,
mm-hmm.
Main Street Jazz Fest in Murfreesboro. Yeah. It's an annual event for me, and I go to Free Comic Book Day, I get a stack, and then we go up to the Jazz Fest, put a blanket and the lawn chairs out, and nothing better for me than being out under the trees in the shade with a stack of comic books, some awesome jazz playing, and eating really bad for you fair food. That's like paradise for me.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. All right, guys and gals, we're going to leave you. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening on iTunes and Stitcher. And until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.